to report unflinchingly and in-depth news, sports, and weather. 10 additional pages of entertainment every Friday in 7. Twice a week coverage of all things outdoors. At the table, on the go, in the moment, for as little as $1 a week. The Spokesman Review keeps you connected to the community whenever and wherever you choose. Your trusted partner for stories that matter for 131 years and counting. Visit spokesman.com and subscribe to the experience.
Much of what you hear today on the radio is for the birds. Remember when you used to listen to the radio for the records? Your radio is back the way it used to be. It's For the Records with Spokane Gary.
Back with the Gary Show, which comes in 3 delicious flavors and 12 decorator colors. Even Charlie Tuna listens to this show with envy. This is Howard Whittington with local news. City Council held an open forum for public comment about the upcoming Expo 74. Strong objections came from the marmots in attendance who claimed it will desecrate their burial grounds. The marmot lobby was finally assuaged when they were promised a seat on the council, reparations, and more corn nuts. This news is a service of United Rent-A-Car. Prices as low as $6.99 a day. May include local and state taxes, airport fees, convention and visitor bureau taxes, excise fees, cleaning deposit, damage waiver, prepaid fuel, one-way rental penalty, additional driver and passenger assessment, promotional charges, and ancillary insurance and security escrow bring actual rental to $279.46 a day. United Rent-A-Car, you know you want to. That's it for the news. Wendy, you got weather?
Oh. Sorry, can't this hour. My nails are wet. Catch me next time.
You just give weather vane a whole new meaning, don't you? Well, we have a new guest this show. We talked about that last week. We have Tony Bamonte joining us here. Are you sure you don't need some alcohol to make this whole thing more palatable, Tony?
Maybe I should have a little bit.
Yeah, here. Why don't you just brush the pine needles and dog hair off the sofa, spread a blue tarp over it, and have a seat there. Tony, I've known you for a long time, back probably to the Clinton administration, and you've probably written more historical books about the Spokane area than anybody. You own Tornado Creek Productions, you and your wife, Suzanne, and she's much better looking than you are. I'm sorry she didn't come this time. Anyway, your latest book, tell us about that. It talks about Liberty Park, is that correct?
Well, that's just one book we're doing. We're doing a book on Liberty Park, and the main reason we're doing that, there's so much information put out about it that just isn't accurate.
Mm-hmm. Give us some examples.
Well, for one thing, Liberty Park was built specifically. It was donated to the city by a very wealthy person, F. Lewis Clark, and it was built. It was the only park in Spokane's history that allowed a private club to build on it. See, and the private club was the Spokane Country Club, and the Spokane Country Club built. They bought a clubhouse on 14th in Perry, and then they had Kirkland Cutter design another clubhouse down in the park itself. Well, where he designed the clubhouse, there was a big swamp there, and it was called Downer Lake, but actually it was a swamp. It was just mostly weeds, hilly weeds, and you know, bad plant life and stuff growing around it. So they had stipulations. The city had to put so much money into this park every year, which they did. See, and the mayor, there was a kind of a clique of, well, the people that were in the Spokane Country Club, if you read the list, it's like who's who in Spokane. They're all very wealthy, well-to-do people. Well, they built this park, and they had the city cleaned up the pond and put white gravel, white sand around it. It had it just looking absolutely beautiful. And the picture was mistaken for being on Cannon Hill Park, and nothing about it would resemble Cannon Hill Park. So that's when I took an interest in it and thought, well, I need to try to clear this up a little. So anyhow, the city did everything they did for the Spokane Country Club. It was really, the citizens weren't really involved. They let on like they were, but they really weren't. And as it progressed, every year they did like $10,000 or more dollars worth of damage or of improvements. And anyhow, they went.
Was actually a euphemism.
Yeah. Now, see, this last 18,
Freudian slip.
Yeah, yeah. 1898 was when they started doing the first work. And then went to 1899 and then 1900 and then 1901. Each of those years, they put a lot of money and did a lot of work. All the rock work you see there now that's left and the ruins, that's all from those years. And when they got done with that, about 1900, the Spokane Country Club realized that this isn't the right place. You know, they had Mechanicsville, these different little settlements where people worked. This, you know, location is very important for any park or, you know, if you buy a residence. So basically, you've got the elite of Spokane. Now you got to remember, this was during the horse and buggy days. You know, this was on the outskirts of Spokane, and it hadn't built up yet. Well, in the short few years that they were there, you can say probably about 4 years, it started building up, and it wasn't building up like they thought it would be. It wasn't the exclusive people moving there. It was more like one of the places was called Mechanicsville. And Mechanicsville, it kind of refers to, at that time, you know, skilled labor and, you know, things like that, the labor class. So consequently, there was a lot of vandalism and damage and armed robbery and things like that going on in that park that you never hear about. You have to really dig deep to find that information. So they, in 1901, I looked in the newspaper, and they were looking for a new park site. The next new park site they were thinking was on Latah Creek, on the banks of Latah Creek. They were going to build one there. So that didn't work out. They couldn't cook a deal up on that. So then they went to Manitou, south of Manitou Park, and they bought a piece of property, and then they built there where that was, where, you know, when they had a nice club. And I think in 1910, that burnt down. And then they went upriver, and they built another club, and that burnt down. And then they built another one after that, and so far that's still surviving. It's still there, and I tried to find out a little more information, but the people that are in charge of it wouldn't call me back, so I don't know too much about that. But to this date, that hasn't burned down yet, and they are in some other problems. So they've got the women have sued them. The club members, women that belong to the club, sued them there for discrimination, and they won that suit. So the last I read in the newspaper, they were thinking about selling the park or selling the club.
Now, for those people who have recently moved to Spokane and don't know the phone number for the Boyle Fuel Company, we drive right through the middle Liberty Park, what's left of it, the grave of it, on I-90 every day, and that's right there near the Hamilton exit there, that little OG, that little S-curve right there, correct?
Yes, and if you look down at that S-curve, it's kind of a flat there. That was where the pond was. Mm-hmm. Now, that pond was habitually bad news for anybody there. It was, you know, they made it look absolutely beautiful, and that lasted for just about a year, and then it went back to the swamps. Mm-hmm. And they had this beautiful club and a veranda going, you know, on out both sides. They did dancing, a lot of parties there. You can imagine the harassment that went on from, you know, the locals there. And I imagine, you know, that's probably why they wanted to get out of there. But that lasted probably, 1998, they started it. 1901, they wanted out pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to stop you there. That's fascinating. We'll hear more. We'll come back after we take a break and make some more unrighteous riches.
Congratulations! You found where Spokane Talks online. Tell your friends.
If you need a sign, banner, or business cards for your business, who do you call? Hi, this is Kent Adams.
And Tom MacArthur from Business Talks. Kent and I call Instant Sign Factory for our signs, banners, business cards, and more.
Dave at Instant Sign Factory is our go-to guy for printing, and he always does excellent work for us.
Check them out online. They've got an all-new website, InstantSignFactory.com.
Tell them Kent and Tom from Business Talks sent you. Instant Sign Factory.
To help you be safe, Washington state law requires you to call 811 two full business days before you plan, for example, to dig, drill, plow, pull from, or pound anything into the ground. Be prepared to provide the operator with the correct address, cross street, and the description of your work. You must mark the dig area with white paint. The operator will inform you of the utilities notified of your impending excavation. Wait for all their marks. Be safe and dig with care.
Well, we're back. We're talking with my guest, Tony Bamonte. And first, let's treat ourselves to Wendy's weather window. What's your prediction based on all that science you use there, Wendy?
Just a minute. Okay, Black 12. That's 46% chance of pounding rain, 16% chance of snow flurries, 9% chance of sunshine, and 29% undecided.
You positive?
I'm the one with the initials behind my name.
And I can't argue with a BS degree. We're coming back here with Tony Bamonte, famous historian of the Spokane area, author of a lot of books. We were talking about his new one upcoming about Liberty Park area. And any more on that, or you want to get into another book?
Well, I have no more on that. I just, you know, talked about as much as I could on that without the book. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's another little thing that's always bothered me, and we did this book. It's called Life Behind the Badge. Spokane Police Department's founding years, 1881 to 1903. And there's something that's consistently bothered me about that. One of the reasons I worked on that book is the police department has the wrong founding date, and they had the wrong founding date since about 1976. Prior to that, it was okay. But they've got on their badges, and when the police chief gets up and gives a talk, there's a big badge behind him. It says 1884. It wasn't in 1884. It was in 1881 when they were founded. And, you know, I was a sheriff, and I know that...
You were there, weren't you?
I was there, see, so I know that it happens. I was also on the Spokane Police Department, and early on, their histories were far more accurate. And they would, you know, get things a little straighter. Well, this particular thing, you know, you've got the chief... investigative branch of a city, and they can't get their founding date right. That has always bothered me. And it's not like they haven't been told. The new chief, I don't remember what his name is right now, but he's been told that. There's been people who went right to him and says, you know, chief, this is in. And if you look at our book, I put a lot of pages correcting that, see. And there was one, we had a committee we started, and there was one lady there said, well, no, that you're wrong, that's 1884. Well, that was, I think, like 8 or 9 years ago, and we're still waiting for her to come up with something right. Well, when you start a city, you incorporate a city, you have to provide your government. You have to provide the mayor and the council and all that, police chief, The only way you can get out of having a police department is if you hire the sheriff. Well, they didn't hire the sheriff. They hired a policeman, and you know, he became the first police chief in 1881. I just wanted to clear that up a little bit. We met with the police department. That was when Terry Mangan was that's when it came up, when Terry Mangan was there, and he had a deputy chief there that when we started working on this book, I put word out to him. I said, you know, you need to take a look at your founding date. So he met with us at one of these meetings we had, and I don't know why, but he had his attorney there, and Jim Nix was his name, and he had his attorney there, and they wouldn't let me even talk about this. No, my mind's made up. This is the date, and this is the way it's going to be. And you know, that's you know, comes from the main investigative branch of Spokane's government. That's always bothered me a little bit, and they still haven't changed it, and it still bothers me a little bit.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong too here in this little slice of Spokane. Maybe you would know. I heard rumored that in 1886 July, to be exact, that this when the talk started about the North-South Freeway. Is there any truth to that?
Well, you know, I'm just a couple years younger than that, I think there's something to that.
There's actually an office pool going around here. I don't gamble, I don't participate, but it's just a vicious rumor that they're all seeing if Kent will outlive the completion of the North-South Freeway.
Oh, no, nobody's going to outlive the completion
of
that.
Not even the baby boomers,
That won't be done, no.
You're right, yeah. Kirtland Cutter and F.O. Berg, I saw a little entry in their diary, too. It says, August 1st, 1889, you know, boy, there's no work around town here, selling tents or wooden buildings. What this town needs is a big fat fire. Do you think they had anything to do with that? Is that a coincidence? Or?
Well, I don't think the fire had a lot to do with it. I think, you know, Kirk and Cutter, when they started the Spokane Country Club, he was in the country club. He, you know, did a lot of engineering for him. And there was another guy, Jack Williams, was on there. And as it turned out, you know, Cutter kind of was messing around with Jack Williams' wife a little bit. And one day on the bus, the trolley car, they didn't have bus, they had trolley cars. And Cutter was getting off the bus ahead of him, and Jack Williams, he ran up behind him and kicked him right in the rear, lifted him up off the ground and knocked him out of the bus and knocked his hat off, and Cutter picked up his hat and went home. That was on 7th
Avenue. Toupee and all, huh?
Yeah, toupee and all, see. And I think that had more to do with Cutter leaving and
shook the city to its foundations.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, Kirtland Cutter, more stuff has come out about him. Was he a great architect or just a charlatan?
Well, he was a fairly good architect, but he was more of an artist. Malmgren was his partner, and Malmgren put all the plans together. Another interesting thing in the book, the guy did the book on Kirtland Cutter. He talked about when he died, his partner got his ashes and went to the end of a pier and dumped them off. And that's not the truth. He's buried in Hawaii, and he's buried with his second wife, the Williams's wife. That's who he ended up marrying. And a tombstone there. And I called the church back there and talked to the minister that was in charge. And I got a picture. We have in our Spokane book, we have a picture of Kirk and Cutter's grave. So if anyone ever wanted to visit that site, it's the grave's there. He wasn't dumped off a pier.
It's empty? No. Didn't dump him off the water in Hawaii.
That was just kind of a made-up story.
I see what you're saying there. Okay. And you did the book on the Davenport Hotel, so you think the partner actually maybe have physically designed the hotel as well?
Possibly. The chances are real good that was the partner that did that. You know, the original Davenport Hotel looked different. It was far more ornate than what you saw. Another thing, you know, like Louis Davenport, they had a plaque in Davenport for the longest time. It said that, you know, Louis Davenport was totally broke, I think $1.25. He got on a train and says, I need to go as far as this will take me. And so the Spokane's where they dropped him off. That's not the truth. You know, Louis Davenport's uncle, Elijah, was in Spokane. Matter of fact, he had hotel right where the Spokane Club is right now. And he had, I think, like five hotels and a restaurant. And Louis took over his restaurant. That's another little myth that was started. At
Spokane Club, that's across from our plush studios here.
Overlooking the river right across from your studio. See, and that would have been a beautiful place. That would have made the hotel a lot more valuable than it is now. It's a nice hotel, but if it had riverfront property, that would have made it pretty nice.
Uh-huh. And a couple more scandals. James Glover, he wasn't the upright individual, the father of Spokane.
James Glover, you know, everything about James Glover that's out, he wrote himself. You know, he waited till all the key players were dead, and then he wrote this stuff. And
I like him already.
Yeah, and he took it. You know, it was Scranton and Downing that staked out Spokane and founded Spokane, and then Glover, he was kind of very rude and mean to his wife. You know, he had her committed. He kind of controlled the town. He had a lot of wealthy people in influence that were in power, and he had her committed to Medical Lake, where she's, I think, it's like over 20 years she spent in Medical Lake. More than anything, she was probably depressed from being married to him.
Mm-hmm. And anybody else that stands out to you? Willie Wiley, did you ever run across him? I know my dad did, but that explains a lot, too.
Willie Wiley was a grand old man, and he just was a character in Spokane, well-loved by everybody, and never wanted to drive. Finally, a friend bought him a car, and he learned to drive, and wasn't long, he killed himself in an auto accident. That was the end of Willie Wiley.
And I don't know if some of you, are you guys familiar with Willie Wiley? You've seen him before?
I've never seen him. I've heard stories of him, but I had never seen him.
Outrageous at the time, would not even stand out in a crowd today, probably.
No, he wouldn't, no.
Appearance-wise, how would you describe?
Well, he wore as little as he could. You know, he would just always nothing obscene, but he would wear shorts in the wintertime and barefoot a lot of times.
Grizzly Adams-looking guy, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, really rugged-looking guy, and he was just a character. He was one of the town's characters. It's strange, you know. You get the town always gets one or two characters, and when they die, you get one or two more weird characters that take their place, oftentimes, and it seems like it perpetuates itself.
Uh-huh. And something I've always wondered about, and maybe the Hattenberg can even help us out. They've remained in the studio for an entire week now, carrying over. May Hutton, was she actually a man? Nobody's going to speak on that.
No, May Hutton was a woman. Very nice lady.
The FCC cannot touch us here. Yeah, you're all right.
No, she was a very nice lady, you know, very honorable lady, and Levi was. He's one of the few people that is left things behind for others. You know, he got the orphanage started, and it's self-perpetuating. There's been a lot of trusts put down that they expire in time. Levi made sure that his continued on forever. And you know, he was a good person. Him and May were very good people. If you ever been out to their tombstone, you see hers is half finished, and the reason it's half finished, it's for the work that she still, you know, had left to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. And what number a book will this next one be? How many you got there on the shelves?
Well, we've done, I think, about 12 of our own. We've published for other people. We did Tim and Becky's book, and we've got three more books. We're working on one right now. My wife's working very hard on this. It's on the gold rush up in Idaho, 1883 gold rush. And then we're redoing our Manitou. It's going to be twice the size, both physically and page count. And we're redoing our Pondre history book, same thing, adding a lot of extra pages. And there's one other book we're redoing. I can't think of the name right now. Anyhow, as you as time goes by, you learn more things, and when you learn more things, you want to put them in these books so you can leave them behind. We probably put together the biggest volume of history of anybody in Spokane, which we feel good about. There's a lot of, we try to clear up myths. The biggest thing we do, we go by original resources. You know, we don't use other people's, what somebody says, or 20 years after, or even 5 years. We try to go back to the original sources, and that's where we come up with accurate things. And that's where Tim and Becky did with their book. They didn't go off what people said. They, you know, Larry was in, you know, he was depressed because he thought his parents were at fault. He thought that his whole life. And they dug out what really happened. And what really happened, I'm ashamed of the press for doing that. They did Larry wrong. They And they cleared that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. I've always enjoyed our time together, and I'd like to know more when you take me to lunch. And we're about out of time again. I'd like to thank you for coming by. Where can we get your book quickly?
You know, my wife usually answers that. I don't, you know, we have a website that's, and I don't know, I don't know the number of that either. My wife should be. I wish she were really here to
help. It's available here locally on
to answer these hard questions like you're asking me.
TornadoCreekPublications.com. There we got
thank
it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Gary's Wardrobe, furnished by Bubba's of Hollywood. Automobiles provided by Studebaker. Travel consideration paid for by Greyhound. Thanks for listening.
For the Records is produced in Spokane, Washington by SpokaneTalksOnline.com, which is solely responsible for its content. Ask a question, recommend a guest, and hear this program again online anytime at SpokaneTalksOnline.com. Next time you turn on your radio, make sure it's For the Records. Thanks for listening.
The stories and photos on the pages of Nostalgia Magazine show glimpses of life in the Inland Northwest from years gone by. From home life, school days, and the workplace, you can relive a style of life that we all loved and cherished. Call today to subscribe, 443-3678, or visit us online at nostalgiamagazine.net. Nostalgia Magazine, ageless stories, ageless photos.